So these are all sort of big societal problems. So there are other problems. What happens when the data is in that model? There's all sorts of reconnaissance. For example, if we have something like we use AI for example, who gets medical health insurance versus who doesn't. If I can talk to that model, I can figure out exactly what criteria they use and who's likely to get and who isn't, and that has enormous challenges. Intellectual property, I spent a lot of time talking to folks on Wall Street, particularly high-speed traders, and you know they use algorithms. They use AI now to make high-speed trading decisions and things like that. If I can talk to their model, I can reverse engineer it. If I know their algorithm, I know their model. There's something called transferability, and there are a bunch of attacks that we here at University of Wisconsin actually pioneered a bunch of. We can actually reproduce a copy of that model, or at least what's called a surrogate, which is a good enough model to be able to learn enough about it to be able to attack the task. So if I was able to do that for a high-speed trader, I could probably bankrupt them in seconds. Privacy, we already sort of talked about. That's really an important problem as a society. Like, how do we deal with all of these models? Because they are, right? The healthcare, we all can agree that that's a great outcome. It's changing things, but we haven't decided either as a legal precedent or as a ethical or societal norm about what data people should be able to use for models and what you have to do to allow that to happen. Right now, everybody's just grabbing every data that's out there and waiting for the litigation to happen. So there's an interesting question about how this is all going to impact society. And I think I've sort of touched on some of the sort of the key points, which is how are things going to play out in the sort of economic side? But I want to talk about the societal side. Charles Goodhart, perhaps one of the most British men to ever live, was an English economist who came up with something that's called a Goodhart's Law. And he said, when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. And this was a very fundamental insight that he made in the 1970s about the nature of using proxies for policy decisions. So let me give you a great example of this. Miles per gallon. We're all familiar with miles per gallon, right? So this was introduced in, I believe, the 1960s, 1970s. And this was used as a response to people's growing concern about the impacts on the environment of cars. And so miles per gallon was decided, like the higher the miles per gallon, the less fuel you burned, the less emission you had, that's great. Okay, so then that became the policy of the day. So that was the key policy about how we are going to defend ourselves from cars in the environment. Great. And in fact, we've spent, the industry has spent the last 40-some years actually getting really good at that. The miles per gallon are infinitely higher than they were back when this started, you know, modulo certain kinds of vehicles. And so in some sense, it's been successful.